If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Interstate Batteries offers a wide variety of batteries for your everyday needs. Stop into one of their thousands of retail locations and talk with a battery specialist about batteries for your truck, trail cameras, and even those weird batteries for your rangefinder. Interstate Batteries even offers cell phone repair in certain locations. For more information, visit interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. And today, basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to run through all of my equipment from the moment that I wake up in the morning to the time that I am 100% set up in the tree, ready to hunt. I'm going to break down all of the gear that I use. And I sat through this morning, and I made a list of everything that I use. And I don't know if I'm necessarily forgetting something. I don't think so. Because if I am, man, there's a whole bunch of gear that I take in with me. And it's going to sound like a whole bunch of gear, but I honestly try to be minimalistic in what I take out every hunt, right? And so this would be a Midwestern style hunt that we're going to talk about today. I may talk briefly about some of the stuff that I use on my Western hunts when I go out and chase mule deer or elk, but a majority of the gear that we're going to be talking about, there is some crossover, but it's based off that that Midwestern style from a tree, hunting from a tree type of conversation. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Before we get into today's episode, though, we're going to do some commercials. We got two that we need to talk about. Well, one's a commercial, one's more of an announcement. And the first one is, if you are into scents or being scent free or wanting to experiment with mock scrapes, you definitely need to go check out codebluescents.com and just take a look at all of their offerings. And they have everything from your scent elimination type products, where you know, your sprays, your soaps, your laundry detergent, wipes, everything that you need to be scent free, they offer. They have it. They have orbital glands in their Ropidope system, or orbital scent in the Ropidope system, so you can create mock scrapes from the licking branch that's on a rope to the real or synthetic scents, deer urines, that they offer. And so, man, these guys got a variety of products. On a Hunting Gear podcast a while ago, I talked with one of their product specialists, and he was talking to me about the really, I guess you would say the quality steps that they go through to collect these scents that they make, especially if they're real, and how they try to have like one deer per bottle. So it's not necessarily a blend of a whole bunch of different deer into one bottle. It's one deer per bottle. And that type of quality is strenuous, right? They probably don't have to do it, but they understand that that's going to provide the highest quality, especially when it comes to how deer use their nose to identify other deer. Having one deer in the area seems more realistic than them smelling something and being like, man, what is this? What am I smelling? So, very good people at that company as well, man. I've had the opportunity to meet and conversate with some of the people from Code Blue, and man, really good company. So go check out codebluescents.com. I do have a discount code, NFC20, and that's going to get you 20% off of all of their products. Now, second thing that I want to announce is I just actually started an apparel company. And right now there's only three different offerings. There's going to be more coming down the pipe, but that company is called Full Sneak. And you can go to fullsneakgear.com, and it's just a Shopify shop right now. As it starts to grow, I'm going to start adding more products. I'm going to probably get an official website and make everything really, really, really high quality. That's what I'm trying to accomplish here. It's going to be a lifestyle brand, you know, logo tees. The first ever Nine Finger Chronicles hat is up for sale there as well. So go visit fullsneakgear.com. Check out the offerings that I currently have, but just know that there's going to be more coming down the pipe. I'm already working on a hoodie. I'm working on a beanie, some more t-shirt designs as well. And the goal with Full Sneak is going to be a full-fledged lifestyle brand that is going to be perfect if you are an outdoorsman. I don't necessarily know if I'm going to get into the camo per se, which I think that's a whole nother monster that I don't, but I got the hoodie is going to be called the post-hunt hoodie, right? I got the date night hat, you know, things that we use outside of the woods. That's, I don't know, it's just going to look real good and be really comfortable in that. And that's, and kick-ass designs as well. So go check out fullsneakgear.com. And now we've done all this. I do need to, talk about my gear, right? That's what we're all here for today. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about what I do when I wake up in the morning. Okay. And so even before that, we're going to talk about kind of like the beginning of this is kind of really scent. So I will wake up, I will go out to the garage, and I will turn on my Ozonics that I have in my Ozonics closet. and I run a dry wash cycle. And so as I then go back into the house and I take a scent-free shower using Code Blue, like body wash, and it's like a body wash, hair wash, and put on my deodorant, my gear itself is being washed over with O3. And so that, you know, that's a bacteria killer. That's a scent eliminator. This O3 is, I'm a huge fan of using O3. You know, I feel like it does a good job in the tree. Like the Ozonics unit does a really good job in the tree, like diluting scent profiles and reducing the impact your scent has on the deer. But I feel like where it really shines, and this is my opinion, is outside of the tree and using it to clean your, like remove the odor from your clothes. Now, it's obviously not going to remove blood or dirt from your clothing. But what it does is if you're obviously hunting gear and equipment is going to get dirty. But for me back in the day when I was really trying to be 100% scent free, this was before the days of Ozonics and other O3 type of products, ozone creating products, I would wash my clothes once a day at least, and then hang them out on the dryer, like hang them out on the line when I wasn't. And then I would have to get dressed and, you know, take it to the field, get dressed. And then I used to spray down with a whole bunch of stuff, man. I just don't do that anymore. It's so time consuming having to wash your hunting clothing over and over and over throughout the year. So now really the only time I wash my clothes is if I got a ton of blood on it, or if I, you know, fell in some mud, or whatever the case may be for having to, like, if it's heavily soiled is what I'm getting at. If it's not, I throw it right into the Ozonics closet, my dry wash bag, and I run a dry wash cycle, and that to me is clean. And you can tell it's odorless when it comes out of there and you're wearing it on the way to the tree stand, right? And so I will, my base layers and my pants, I will always put on right out of the dry wash bag. Toothbrush, right? So I brush my teeth with just regular toothpaste and regular toothbrush. There's nothing fancy there. I don't, you know, some guys I've heard have the conversation like, oh dude, you need to brush with scent free. Man, I don't think it matters, because if that smell is even making it to a deer's nose, they're going to smell the mint flavor, but it's what is coming up out of your guts that the deer are smelling, right? So if you burp, or if you just have your mouth open, all of that breathing is creating odor that they can identify. And that's kind of why I run an Ozonics in the tree, and I'll get to that. But anyway, all right. So now I'm out of the shower. I dry off. I'm getting dressed. If it's cold outside, I'm throwing all of my, outerwear, let's say like a big shell jacket or my, puffy jacket or any of my insulation layers, it's going into a bag. So that way when I'm riding to the tree or I'm walking to the tree, then I can, I'm not getting hot. Right. And so I'll throw that into a bag, but at the truck, I'm putting on my base layers before I get into the car, putting on my base layers, and I am, putting on, which is mostly this year, it's everything that I'm going to be wearing. I'm going to say 90% of it is going to be Huntworth clothing. I worked a deal with them on another, on the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. And so they sent me a whole bunch of stuff. And I will say that I am surprised of how much the quality is. I would compare their clothing. So if you're going to say brands like Sitka, Kuyu, yeah, I would say Sitka and Kuyu are the top of the food chain when it comes to gear and how they perform. They're at level 10. I'm going to put Huntworth at level 9, okay? And so you're paying a ton of money for Sitka, for Kuyu, and some of these other really elite, maybe First Light now, for these quote-unquote elite brands, you're still getting the quality out of Huntworth, but you're paying way less, right? And so, man, I'm really looking forward to using that. They offer solid colors, which I really like. They have a variety of camo patterns. So if you like a digital pattern, they have that. If you like, more of a scribbled up, pattern, they have that as well. And so I'll be using a lot of Huntworth. I'll have some merino wool socks and base layers that and synthetics base layers that I will be using. Some of those aren't Huntworth, but majority, like the synthetic tops and the synthetic bottoms, won't be merino wool, but they'll be my insulating base layer. That was unprofessional. Crispy boots. I got a different brand. So for the past, I want to say five or 7 years, I've had the Crispy Thors. This year I changed to the Crispy Colorados, and I went and wore them on a couple hikes to get them broken in for my my upcoming Western hunts. And they're very comfortable. Those Thors, Crispy Thors, and these Colorados are why I continue to go back to Crispy every single year. And that is because the quality of them and how long they last. Man, I beat the shit out of my equipment. And these boots, my last pair of boots last me 5 hunting seasons, man. That's 5 trips. There's multiple trips to Nebraska. That's 5 trips to South Dakota. And then, of course, Iowa, shed hunting. And then when I wear my boots outside of the hunting season as well, let's say like if it's snowing outside or things like that, I don't want to wear a pair of tennis shoes, I'm throwing on my Crispies, man. And they're comfortable. The break-in period for them is very small. And I have yet to get a blister on my feet in any Crispy shoes. And that's no joke, man. So socks are going to be a combination of Altera alpaca socks. Now these are like merino wool, but they're alpaca, and so they have the same properties as merino wool. Some might argue even a little better. They have the moisture wicking. They have the ability to not collect odors and bacteria, and that's a huge benefit. And they're very comfortable, and they hold the warmth very well, especially in the colder seasons. But now they've also come out with a thinner sock, like a lightweight merino or alpaca sock. I used to use Darn Tough merino wool socks because they were thinner, but now that Altera has these new lightweight socks, I'll probably be picking up a couple of those. Plus, I already have a ton of socks, so it's not like I need to go buy anything. I got a ton of socks. When it comes to socks, that's really it for me getting dressed before the hunt.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Get in my truck, right? Drive to the property. I'm not, because I have the Ozonix and I've washed my clothes, I'm not really a scent-free geek. I'm not anal about my personal scent anymore, because I know that the Ozonix out of the tree, in the tree, and I'm clean, my body's clean, I don't really think about it or care about it too terribly much. Depending on the hunt, I do have an e-bike on my main farm, the one that I've been hunting a lot. I don't think that driving a truck to search through the property helps per se, but I don't necessarily think it hurts. And so on the new farm that I acquired, there's only one access route into the heart of the farm, and it's through a gap in a fence. And so when I went there the first time and I started walking through this gap in the fence, I noticed that the deer were seeing me on this hillside. They would get up and they would run away. Okay. Once I started using this e-bike to drive to this dam wall, and then I would hide the bike, like a tire would be in the pond and it would be laid right there. I think that helped. And I think that has led to the reason why, I'm seeing so many deer on some of these properties, because they look at that bike and they're like, well, that's not a human threat. That's not a threat. I mean, it's not something vertical walking through the landscape. It looks just like another vehicle. They're used to vehicles. And so they don't necessarily ignore it. They just don't run away from it. So, and then by the time that I'm out of range and they can't see me anymore, or I'm to a spot where I'm up in my tree, it's, dude, like from an access standpoint, if you can use a bicycle or have someone drop you off at your tree stand and pick you up at your tree stand, I think from an access point, and from deer are probably less apt. They're not going to stay in the field when a bike is going through, but they're not going to run away because they necessarily haven't seen you. They haven't smelled you per se. A truck comes into the field. It's going to spook them, but they're going to come right back. Right. So I don't think, I think e-bikes actually do help, on access, staying kind of, I don't want to say invisible, but it's not as big of a distraction to them as just walking through the landscape is. So depending on the hunt, I might use an e-bike. On my access routes, I'm a huge fan of nose jammer, right? And so I spray nose jammer on my boots, on my clothing. I spray nose jammer on my hats. And it's just another, because you will never beat a deer's nose. I don't care if you use Ozonics. I don't care if you're scent free and you use the sprays, you wash your clothes every day, you brush your teeth, you have good hygiene, you take as many steps. If a deer smells you, there's things that you can do to, I don't want to say trick them, because once their nose gets acclimated to whatever it is that they're trying to sniff, they will smell you eventually. It's just how much of you are they smelling? And that's why I like using ozone, because in the tree, it dilutes your scent to, this isn't proven or anything, but my theory is that it dilutes your scent cone to the point where they smell you. And maybe they'll say to themselves, it triggers something in their brain that says, okay, there was this scent here, but it's so diluted that it hasn't been, it's been a while since they've been there. Or maybe they're 500 yards away, so they're no big threat to me right now, because that's the profile that I'm getting. Now, when it comes to nose jammer, though, I truly believe in this product for the science behind it. And from overwhelming the olfactory senses in any type of animal, right? So imagine walking into a house where the people there smoke inside. As soon as you walk into the house, you will smell cigarettes, and it's overwhelming cigarettes. Or when you walk into a pizza shop store, a pizza restaurant, you smell that and it hits you like a ton of bricks. But then after a while, your brain adjusts how you smell, that those smells go away, and then you can start to pick out certain things again. And I think that's what happens when you use nose jammer on a deer. At least that's how they market it. It overwhelms them. It is the only thing that their brain can pick up in that. And they're like, holy cow, what is this? And so for a short period of time, if a deer's downwind of you, it'll smell that sometimes, And I use it mostly for my access routes. And so it's just another thing that they're picking it up. They're picking up the ozone, but what they're doing is it's overwhelming them. And they're like, holy cow, it's so potent. What is this smell? And my smell's mixed in with that. So it's like kind of like a Trojan horse of scents, right? Like my scent is in there somewhere, but it's diluted. It smells like ozone. It smells like vanilla extract, which is what Nosejammer's made out of. And so those, from the scientific standpoint, that's kind of my scent regimen. So I get to the tree and I'm using a variety of different climbing methods, a variety of different saddles and hang-ons throughout the year. And I'll break those down right now. So I do have two different tethered saddles. I have the Lockdown and then I have the Phantom XL that I'll be rotating through this year. I think the Lockdown is going to be good for first time in sits where I can have a whole bunch of stuff right in my pocket, in those pockets on that saddle. And then, you know, put up my climbing sticks, start pulling stuff like bow hooks and ropes and anything like screw-in steps or anything that I need to carry at my hip to help myself in climbing and setting up in the tree. But once I've been to a tree, let's say I find a good spot and I'm probably going to come back to it, I may or may not leave my platform there. I may or may not leave my climbing sticks there. But then I'll probably come back with a lower profile saddle and then I use the Phantom XL. It's very comfortable. I'm a bigger dude. I'm right at 6'1", and I am probably I'm right around 230 pounds right now. And so it's comfortable for my fat ass is basically what I'm saying. I'm using the XL platform that Tethered offers as well in my saddle setup. Not very many mods to it other than hockey tape over some of the metal and some of the front part where I feel like there might be some clicks and some bangs on the stand. But for the most part, I don't really mod out my platform. I do the same thing with my climbing sticks where I'll wrap hockey tape around them to minimize. It doesn't prevent it, but it makes a sharp metal-on-metal sound seem like a dull metal-on-metal sound. And it doesn't necessarily carry through the woods that far. And so that's what I'm doing for my climbing sticks or for my stand. If I am going to pull a that was my saddle, excuse me. My stand is just an old Lone Wolf, man. And those they just work so well as a hang-on, right? There's all these other brands now that have spurred off from this, and there might be some different adjustments like Lone Wolf Custom Gear and XOP and now Novix. They all kind of stem from, and they've all kind of taken it a little, you know, different directions. But I will say that original design works so well. Those are the only stands that I need. And if I'm going to go to a spot that is a historically good rut spot, I may throw a stand in there to keep there. If it's a historically good rut funnel where I know I'll be, you know, I can leave a stand up all year round on some of this private. When I'm on public, I'm definitely using a saddle, much more mobile. I don't necessarily know where the deer are coming and going from, so I have to go find it, while I'll use the saddle. Sticks. I do have tethered sticks. I have one set of tethered sticks. They're pretty good. I do like them. My main stick the reason I like using the Lone Wolf sticks, they're three steps. They're not double sticks. They're singles. They're single step sticks that rotate. I can stack them. They're fairly light. I can put them in a bow holder. That's what I do. I take the ends, put it in a bow holder, take the bow holder and strap it to the sticks. And then I can throw the sticks over my shoulder when I'm walking in. And that way I don't have to take my backpack off when I get to the tree. I just take them out of the bow rope or the bow holder, set the bow holder at the bottom of the tree, and then I start setting things up. And then from there, I go, am I putting up a full tree stand, lone wolf tree stand, or if I'm putting up one of the tethered XL platforms? So that's kind of the stand, climbing stick, saddle type of setup I got. Now, I am wearing this year in the past, I've worn the Mystery Ranch tool bucket, or not tool bucket, treehouse, excuse me. And that's a pretty sweet, sweet pack. This year, I think I'm going to be using a backpack, the bigger backpack from Huntworth. It looks like it's going to be able to do everything that I need it to, as far as, holding water, holding extra clothing, like my layers that I won't be wearing when I'm walking to the tree or riding to the tree. Won't be using that, but I will be using that when I get into the tree. It's going to be easy to unzip, pull my clothes out, put them on, either in the tree or at the base of the tree before I climb up. And then after that, really, it's just what's in the backpack, right? And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. It's a very comfortable backpack. It compresses down very well, but it can hold a bigger, heavier coat. I might be able to stuff a coat in there with insulation layer. And then once I get to the tree, like I said, my Nalgene bottle goes in there. My grunt tube is in there. Any snacks will fit in there. And then to the exterior, I will have strapped my rattling antlers. And so I don't use a rattle bag. I use real rattling antlers. For some reason, I just assume deer can hear that, like the plastic on plastic, or hear these rattle bags. And I'm sure they can't really tell the difference. But for me, I'm just like, I like the authenticity of real rattling antlers. And so that's why they're a little bit more bulky. Their profile isn't near as flat as some of these other options, but I really do like them. And so there's that. Here's my bow setup. Okay, bow setup. I have a Bowtech Solution. I have a 30-inch draw at 70 pounds. I have a React 5 sight by Trophy Ridge. And here is why I like using a multi-pin sight. In the past, I have used a single-pin sight. And in the moment of truth, if things are happening quickly and having the ability to, like, having the time and awareness to range and adjust and things like that, I just like having multiple pins. Now, there are hybrids that do interest me, and that is the 20 and 30 pin or set, and then the other pin, the third pin, or I'm sure there's different variations of this, is a sliding pin so that you can crank the dial if it's out like to 40, 50, 60, 70 or something like that. You can crank it all the way down to whatever the furthest distance is that you want. And so it's a hybrid version of that. And so that's something that interests me, but this sight's been working on multiple bows that I've owned, and I really like it. And the setup time to get your bow accurate with this sight is really easy, man. I mean, you set up at 20, you set up at 30, you make your adjustments, and then once you have those two pins set, then 40, 50, and 60 are all automatically set. And so that's, once that type of technology came out, I was a huge fan of that. Little drink here a second before I get into my rests. All right. Vapor Trail. This, or well, it's been 3 years now since I've gotten a Vapor Trail rest. Man, I used to use Ripcord. I mean, I loved that rest. I loved that rest. But then I noticed on a new version that I got, it just didn't seem like the quality was there. Still a very good rest, man. Absolutely. Still wouldn't hesitate to put a Ripcord on. But I feel like something changed once that company was sold to, I forget the name of the company that bought them. Anyway, it's another one of those huge conglomerates, right? They own like 20 brands or something like that. So they bought Ripcord. And I feel like the quality of the product went down since the sale, since they sold it to that. And so that's why I went to Vapor Trail. I had several guys tell me, dude, you need to try the Vapor Trail. You need to do the limb-driven system, the limb-driven rest. And that's what I have. I got a Vapor Trail. It's a limb-driven rest. There's, you know, theories and science behind why a limb-driven is better than a cable-driven system and how there's less rest arrow interference on a limb-driven system, because that once that limb goes up, it stays up. There's not a lot of bounce back on that launch pad. So huge fan of that. And then that's it for my bow setup. Here's my arrow. Oh, and on my bow setup, I do have a customized grip, which is hockey tape around the grip that came with it. And it gives it a little bit more grip, which is why I like it. My hands don't slide when I come to full draw. And that's why I like that. Arrows, day six arrows. I think mine are the 250s. 524 grains total arrow weight. Love the tolerances on those arrows. They are the most they have the most consistent tolerances in the entire hunting industry, right? So their manufacturing process allows for their arrows to be very straight, and all of the arrows to be very, very straight. And so that's why I like the consistency in there. It's a very high quality product, and high quality in this instance reflects cost. So they are more expensive, but you're getting a very good set of arrows that you will be able to shoot for multiple years if you take care of them. On the end of my arrow is a Wasp jackhammer. Now, if I'm going to hunt a bigger bodied animal like elk, I will put a Boss 4 blade on. But for whitetail and mule deer purposes, I'm putting a jackhammer, 100 grain jackhammer on that. And at 70 pounds and at 30 inch draw, man, unless I hit major bone or major tissue, tough tissue, then I'm going all the way through that animal.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus, powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
I don't know how many pass-throughs I've had with that at that setup, just a ton. And then when I did shoot the Boss 4 blades on those arrows the 1 year, man, you know, obviously there's no energy loss in a fixed blade. I was destroying animals. I mean, my arrow was zipping through them like butter, coming out the back end, sticking, you know, 6 inches in the ground. You know, those are fairly close shots, but very, very accurate flying arrows. But that, again, is not only your arrow setup, but it's how you tune your arrows and your bow together. You know, got to make sure your sight's on, got to make sure your rest is set up. A lot of that has to do with timing of the cam timing. And so that's why I go into a shop and have somebody really work on my bow every single year to get it to be quiet. And when something is quiet, that means the energy is more efficient and it's being delivered into the arrow and not like the hand shock or the vibration of the bow. So there's that. I think that's it. Oh, four fletch. All of my arrows are four fletched. They come, the fletchings that come with the day six arrows are the ones that I use. This year, I had to have a couple arrows, the fletching stripped, and then I just bought some regular, I don't even know, ABA, America's Best Accessories, America's Boat, I don't know, ABE, I forget the name of it. Anyway, those are the fletchings that I use, whatever those are, four fletch. And the reason that I shoot four fletch is to stabilize the back end as fast as possible. Some guys, you know, depending on who you talk to, the more drag, you're losing speed, but your arrow is flattening out quicker. And you're able to get true, like really good arrow flight down to your target. And right now I have that. I did notice a little bit of a bump in accuracy when I'm shooting a four fletch. And then on top of that, in windier conditions, I necessarily haven't seen it firsthand, but four fletches are supposed to work better in windy conditions. Accessories. Next on the list is the all the accessories. And it's very, very simple, right? I usually carry like a Realtree bow holder, a screw-in bow holder. I do have these tethered ones that hang on the ropes. So now I'll be able to like put this strap around the tree and then put these bow, like these hangers on there for my pack and any other things that I want to hang on the tree, like rattling antlers or grunt tube or rangefinder, or even my bow. So I got some of those tethered. I do have one of my favorite brands. I don't know if they even make them anymore because I haven't seen them at the store that I go to. But I think for a while, Grillo was making these really high quality screw and hangers that I would use to hang my pack on. The thing that pisses me off the most is having to struggle when you're hanging off of a tree trying to get a screw in something into because it's not sharp or it's dull or something like that. So there are certain screw in hangers that perform better. They're sharper, they have more grip right away, and they're easier to screw into the tree. And those are the ones that I like. I think a lot of us have been there before to where we're trying to force this dull, basically nail into a tree, trying to get it to spin, and it's just not working. And then you're spending a lot of energy in the tree trying to do something that is kind of a waste of time. So now to the Ozonix unit itself. It's this year I have the 500 with a screw-in arm with an extension. And so that is in my pack. I hang my pack up. The Ozonix is running the whole time I'm accessing. So once I leave the truck, the Ozonix comes on. I put it in my pack with it vented, and then it's coming out as I'm walking or riding my bike to, you know, wherever I get off my bike or climb up to the tree. And so that's on the whole time. I will grab the screw-in arm, screw it in, pull the bag out, or put it in the bag, pull out the arm, screw it in, hang the Ozonix, very simple. And then I always get an extra battery, an XL battery. So I got two XL batteries, and one XL battery should last you all day, depending on how long you're in the tree and what cycle you're running on your Ozonix unit. There might be some time, like parts of the day where thermal shift or the wind changes direction and you might not need to run it. I would suggest shutting it off and then turning it back on, especially at prime time. If you're an all day sitter, right? I'm not an all day sitter, so I like to go and leave and then come back to different areas, whatever. And so there's that. And then while I'm hunting, my other XL battery is charging so that when I get back to after the hunt, I switch batteries out. I put the new battery that's been charging, I put that in the dry wash bag or in the unit, and then put it in the dry wash bag, and I have a fresh battery for my dry wash cycle. Grunt tube that's also goes in my pack. That's a bone collector. Funny story, I went to a Gander Mountain one time. That's where I bought it at several years ago. Before that, I had a grunt tube for, I'm going to say 12 years. I had the same grunt tube and still to this day haven't found a grunt tube that sounded anything like this deep, like just a deep dominant buck grunt. Man, it's money. It's not one of these grunts that sounds like a beep, beep, you know, just like very soft, very non-mature sounding grunt call. And so I was taking all of these grunt tubes out of the packaging and blowing them into, like blowing them and testing them out. Some kid, you know, I look at it now and I might've been a little harsh on him. And he came up to me, he's like, "I don't know, sir, I don't know if you can take those out of the packages to test them like that." And I just looked at him and said, "Well, I'm going to. So if you have an issue with this, you can send your manager over here." Like I just wasn't having it. I don't know why. And so I took all of them out and I found the bone collector grunt tube. It has a built-in snort wheeze thing in it. I don't use it. I just use my mouth. But it sounds as close to the original grunt tube that I had for all those years. It's, again, a deep grunt. You can squeeze it, flexes a little bit. You can manipulate the sound, make it sound really good. So I like that one. Like I mentioned earlier, I bring real rattling antlers with me. I bring a Nalgene bottle with me. My rangefinder is a Vortex. I have a Vortex rangefinder. That thing's kick ass. My binoculars are the Triumph in the tree. They're going to be the Triumph HD binocular this year. Really good. I'm using, you know, I forget the name of the Vortex sent me one. I do like it, but the other one that I use has a magnetic strip on it, which all I have to do is flip the lid up and take the lid off, and there's magnets in there that hold it together. It doesn't make any noise. And that way I can take my binos out, set them back in, and that lid doesn't interfere with anything.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
God, I forget the name of it. It's right out there. I should probably go look, but I'm not. I'm going to just tell you it's a really, really good one. Outside of that, I also use a hand muff. I'm not a big fan of wearing gloves, especially in prime time. I like putting my hands in my pocket. I do use a lot of hand warmers throughout the season. I do like the ones with adhesive on them, and I can stick those to my legs or my lower back or my chest or something like that. Like the places that get cold first. Ooh, I forgot a big one. Boot covers. Arctic Shield boot covers, man. I used to be the guy who used to wear the really big Alpha Burly Pro rubber boots. I still wear those if I have to cross water, or if it's really wet outside, or, you know, muddy, then I'll wear those. But typically, I'm just wearing my Crispies with a pair of heavy-duty socks, and then I'll put my feet in with my boot and everything in that, in the Arctic Shield boot covers, man. And my feet have stayed really, really warm throughout the years, because it kind of just capsulates all that moisture, or that heat leaving your boot. And so it's a really good product. And if it's extremely cold, then I will take a couple of body warmers, and I'll body it or adhesive stick it to my boot, and then put the boot cover over top of it. And that acts as like an insulation, or like a heating sauna for my boot. And so I really like that.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Other than that, man, I think that's kind of my everything we need to know about how I approach my season. I didn't get into too much detail about the type of clothing that I'm wearing, but it's all early season stuff, unless it starts to get cold, and then I'll start bringing out the big dogs, the big heavy duty sweaters and hoodies and insulation puffy jackets and things that are meant to keep me warm in those colder hunts. So that's just me, man. That's what I do. Thought you guys might be interested in it. If you guys have any questions about the gear that I use or gear that you use, go to the Nine Finger Chronicles Instagram page, hit me up with a DM. Also, huge shout out to Code Blue Sense for partnering with this podcast. Please go check out fullsneakgear.com, and there's a couple products there that I think you guys might find cool. Would love to see that. See you guys buy that. And then the Nine Finger Chronicles hats there as well. That's it, man. And so hit me up on Instagram. If you are a company listening to this podcast and you own a hunting gear and equipment company, or you're a manufacturer or something like that, hit me up. Would love to have you on. If there is a company that you would like to have on, hit me up again as well. And man, I hope everybody's gear is in check. I hope all of your guns and bows and crossbows are shooting accurately for this upcoming season. I hope all of the you've checked all your gear to make sure it's working properly. And then I hope all of you have extremely good luck this upcoming season. So have a good one, and we'll talk to you next week. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.